Hit the top. Cumaholics. Cumaholics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Woo!
Yay!
Boy, we got this party started. Welcome to Cumaholics, episode number whatever this is. I'm not sure anymore.
42.
And we are here in Cumaholics HQ in the Apocalypse's basement, bringing you our latest episode. And this episode will be the first to...
Brought to you by the letter...
Q?
Q.
And the number 4. this episode will be the first one to go up on YouTube, as well as our other feeds.
Oh, gosh.
So all you YouTube fans out there who tune in for Pop Culture Network stuff, welcome to the program. As you can see, we've just thrown up some photographs in the feed. You're not getting an actual video, but at least it's something to look at. Maybe I'll put up the picture of the hors d'oeuvres first, since those will be disappearing pretty quickly.
Well, I figure we need to eat at some point.
Well, you got
to
eat. Okay, I got to talk to you, Apocalypse.
Okay. Is this serious?
This is serious.
I don't like to talk about serious things.
There are some changes.
A script. I want a script.
There are changes coming to the Pop Culture
Network.
I
need to speak to my agent.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Now.
Uh-oh. Oh, I've heard this speech before. Last time I heard this speech, I spent 6 weeks at home.
You're a very valued employee. You know we love you. No. We're kind of shifting the Pop Culture Network a little bit. The Pop Culture Network is basically made up of two parts, okay? There's the core component, which is here in Springfield, and then there's our contributors. And our contributors live in, like, North Carolina and New York and over in England and wherever, and they send us, you know, their stuff. But for the core component here in Springfield, we're moving into more of these long-format shows.
Okay.
So we've got a toy podcast called It Figures.
Right.
We've got a video game one, Video Game Losers, and Cumaholics is our comic one. Cumaholics, we need to either...
I feel like I'm being presented a challenge.
Well, either we need to do it weekly
if
or bi-weekly.
You're willing to accept this challenge. Oh, really? Well, so we got to step it up.
We either have to do it every week or every other week. And I'm fine with doing every other week for a while, you know, to kind of hit a rhythm. But we need to do it every week or every other week. And we need to get it doesn't matter.
If we're doing a weekly, then we're going to have a longer discussion about current titles.
Well, that's the part of the thing is the show needs to go down to about an hour, hour and a half, you know, not 2 hours and 20 minutes like we tend to do.
Right. Well, that's what we're doing monthlies.
So, you know, hour.
And we've been experimenting this with, because, I mean, we did a Cumaholics Light.
Right. And that's kind of what Light turned it. But Light is a one topic. And right. I would still like to talk about current books and then, you know, some sort of trade or collection or miniseries or something.
Right,
let's say we do it every other week. We need to, even if we don't record it at the same day, it needs to be ready to go up the same day every week.
Okay.
So, like, if we want it to go up on Mondays.
We have
to make sure that it's ready.
That week to
right.
Have it. Okay.
Anytime during that week and then have it up on Monday. Or if we want to do it, I think we want to do it Mondays. Mondays, I think, is a good spot.
Because then
for
we
it.
Still have Sunday as a last resort to get it done.
Right. And Sunday is usually a pretty big open day.
Deadlines, people. No, I'm down with that. You know, I'm cool with that. I think probably every 2 weeks is probably
and one
more realistic right now.
And I want to do it before Wednesday, just because Wednesday is New Comic Day.
And yeah, we review a lot of stuff that comes out, like,
right. Well, and that's,
you know, 2 weeks in advance.
With Monday being, you know, the first day, it's like, or I mean with Wednesday being the first day, it's like if you do a show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, people are going to expect your new books, you know, to be right then and there.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, either we put it up Sunday night, we put it up Monday afternoon, Monday night, you know, somewhere. I think Monday night would be fine, I think. Monday at like 9 p.m. or something like that, you know. But so anyway, that's kind of what we're looking at. That's
fantastic.
That's the real of the situation. So
I thought this was going to be bad news.
Oh, it is bad news. You got to read more comics.
Oh.
I'm going to eat this cheesy ravioli. Go ahead and tell people your life story.
My life story? Uh-huh. Well,
I'm eating cheesy ravioli.
I lived in a zoo
most
of my life.
In Florida?
Yes. Uh-huh. It was an science experiment.
Yep.
I was given some drugs, radioactive drugs.
No, that wasn't an experiment. That was a dude with a Volkswagen van.
He said it was radioactive.
And it wasn't really an experiment. Well, it was an experiment because he made that stuff in his basement.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, he just wanted to know if you're going to die.
Either way, I thought I was an orangutan for the longest time.
Mmm, that's pretty good. All right. Cheesy ravioli aside now. People have been listening to the show regularly. They know for about the last 3 months, I've been meaning to bring you something and I keep forgetting. I finally remembered tonight.
Oh, what is it?
I snuck it in when you weren't paying attention. This is what I've been promising
Ooh.
You.
Ooh. Ooh, a neon lamp. Nice.
A martini glass neon lamp.
Fantastic. Well, this will have to go up. During the break, I'll put it up. And then we'll gaze upon it.
Well, because we'll figure out... Because you got to find an outlet.
Oh, it's a battery-powered here, is it? Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Maybe.
No, UL adapter. Well, maybe it can be both then. I don't know. But nothing too, you know, special or amazing. I wanted to get the one... They apparently had one that was a beer mug, but I couldn't find the beer mug anywhere. So I got the martini glass.
That's fine.
You know.
It's suiting.
So. Oh, well, you know great. What? You know what? I need to get a picture so we can put it into the podcast feed at some point. Yeah, with the big clearance price tag on it. Woo!
Here, let me do the other here.
With the big price I didn't pay on
the one that says $24.99 on there so everybody can think that you're not cheap. Thanks. Appreciate it, Derek.
So there's something else for Colin Hawks HQ here. I mean, like I said, when the weather gets nice, I think it'd be nice to do some of these out in your bar.
Well, the next phase of my house projects is to revamp the bar, probably get a dumpster and do a little cleaning out and resuscitate my bar out there.
Oh, here, I'm going to switch this real quick.
Oh, are we okay?
Maybe you'll sound a little better now.
Was I in mono?
Well, no, you just need to talk louder.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we need to move this closer.
Here, we'll scoot this around. Scoochie, 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 scoochie,
Ooh,
scoochie.
It's Scoochie.
Scoochie. All right, now, this is segment one of Comaholics.
Right.
Even though we're about, like, 7.5 minutes into it. Let's talk about what we've been reading.
Okay, last time I made you go first.
You didn't make me do nothing. I chose to go first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will punch you right in your pie hole.
So, let's see. As far as digital comics, I've been reading a lot of.
I've been spending way too much money on Comixology.
Yeah, me too.
I just sit there and I'm like, oh, I'd like to read. Like, I'm...
It's so easy to just go, oop, that's mine now.
Yeah, it's like,
press a little button.
99 cent sale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, it's like the heat from your finger doesn't actually touch the screen and it already selects it, it just knows. Did you read Nancy in Hell?
No.
The next issue came out, that was really good.
I have not been reading
Nancy in Hell is basically about this woman named Nancy who uh-huh. is paired up with Lucifer, somehow is... Hell is on Earth, and there's all these demons walking the Earth, and Nancy has this ability with a chainsaw to kill demons. And it's mostly boobies and nice butt shots and blood and gore, and there's really no premise to it whatsoever.
Is it kind of like...
Other than the fact that, like, for some reason, Lucifer is, like, this, like, long, blonde-haired, wimpy guy that, like, just, like, wants to, like, ever have everybody love each other. But he's Lucifer. It's really bizarre.
Does it feel like it's a Xenoscope book?
Yes.
Like a
yes.
Grim Fairy Tales type
uh-huh.
of thing?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Scarlet Spider?
Uh-huh.
Did you read that?
I have not.
Okay. Well, Scarlet...
Well, you can talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, well,
ahead,
I'm
man.
Going to.
Jeez.
Scarlet Spider is Kane, which is, Peter from Parker's
Spider
clone
right.
from Spider Island. At the end of Spider Island, he's freed.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up in Austin, Texas. I believe it's Austin or Houston. In Texas. And he's basically trying to run away to Mexico, but somehow gets involved in a lot of evildoers.
Because every time a hero tries to get away, they get
That's
pulled
right.
right back
he gets
in.
Sucked right back in. So he's torn between, you know, doing good or just being selfish because he's got a big bag full of money.
Although, wait. I take that back. I did read the current issue.
Issue 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Where, I think it was in issue 3, because there's the scene where he's, like, thinking to himself, and he's swinging along from building to building.
Right.
And he's like, well, you know, the one thing I got to figure out is, and he's sitting there in midair just kind of floating, he's like, what the hell happened to all the buildings?
Right.
Oh, damn it, this isn't New York.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just like, stupid Texas.
I actually kind of like the character, because he's like the bad boy version of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know, he's he doesn't have all the good qualities. He's not innocent at all. You know, in fact, he's not trying to go out and do good. He just sort of stumbles upon it. So, I don't know, it's a good story. I mean, it's only a few issues deep, so there's not a lot to talk about. Obviously, it's just all character development right now. What about Captain Atom?
I'm not current on it. I have them, but I haven't read all of them.
Excuse me, folks. I've had allergies.
Yeah, huh?
I didn't read the last one, but I am current up to issue 6.
What do you think of it?
I like it.
I think the story is okay. Like, I don't think the story is anything earth-shattering, you know? Like, I wouldn't say, like, oh, this is the greatest book.
It's not my favorite 52. Right.
But it's okay. Like, it's entertaining.
It's better than The Ray.
Well, but I think I'm still... The artwork still annoys me.
Captain Adam.
Freddie Williams. Who normally I like, but on this title he does that crazy style... Where
it's kind of like Japanese anime or something. I don't know how to describe it. It's got that, like...
Well, it's the way that Captain Atom is the only one who actually has lines around him. Everyone else is just those...
Oh, no, not Japanese. I'm sorry. It reminds me of kind of like that 70s style, where everything's kind of penciled differently.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Like the early Swamp Thing stuff.
Yes. But I think it by doing that, it kind of brings out an interesting characteristic... Kind of sets itself apart a little bit.
It does, but I just liked his style when it was normal, and he's not doing normal, so it's just kind of like, I wish he'd go back to what he was doing.
What about Incredible Hulk?
I have those. I haven't read them yet. I actually just bought them the other day.
Well, at the very end of issue 6, basically, Incredible Hulk holds Bruce Banner in place as this like gamma bomb goes off. And then it just like the island that Incredible Hulk had banned Bruce Banner to blows up in this big A-bomb. And that's the end of issue 6. What had happened in Incredible Hulk was Incredible Hulk was divided from Bruce Banner. I believe it was it Magneto that did it? I think it was Magneto. No, I'm sorry, it's Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom did it.
Why did Dr. Doom do it?
Because Dr. Doom wanted to use Bruce Banner for something else. And that was the deal. Like, Dr. Doom said, okay, I will separate you from Bruce Banner. And he, like, had this, like, host body that he put Bruce Banner in. Like, separated their minds. And then, in the end, I guess, the Hulk's like, no, I'm not going to let you use him. And then he takes Bruce Banner away and then leaves him on this, like, island, this... You know, deserted island. I don't remember how he gets a hold of a gamma bomb, and then there's this whole thing where like Bruce Banner's trying really hard to basically get the powers back. So he's doing all these experiments on all the animals on the island, and turning
into Bruce Banner wants to be the Hulk again.
I think. Well, he kind of goes mad. He's like torn. Like he. He, you know, he knew that he wanted to be separated from Incredible Hulk, but then once he is, he wants it back. Like, he wants the power back.
Hmm.
So he goes, like, mad and tries to, like, do all these experiments on all these animals on the island, turns them into, you know, Hulk-like creatures to seek out the Incredible Hulk. To seek out other animals until he gets his experiment right, basically. So then the Incredible Hulk... is teamed up with this supernatural team that specializes in mad scientists.
So is this like Island of Dr. Moreau or something?
Kinda. But the art, I really like the art. And the story's kind of fun.
Kinda?
No, I like it. I was entertaining.
I was entertaining?
It was entertaining. Excuse me. I was entertained.
Well, I know, and people were saying that, you know, 1 through 3 is a first arc, and then 4, 5, 6 is a second arc, and...
It's pretty much the same arc.
Well.
But. I thought it was a good read. I enjoy it.
Mm.
It's like the only Hulk I read, too. Like,
she's
I don't,
ravioli.
I don't care for... I've never really cared for Incredible Hulk until I started reading these, so.
Mm.
How about Carnage USA?
Nope.
Okay.
It's I mean, good you can talk about it if you want to.
It's good. Well, I don't remember all the names and stuff, so I'm going to butcher it. Long story short, there's a team
of... Carnage take over Carnage, a small town or something?
Yeah, well, Carnage took over a small town, and there's like a team of Carnage-like government agents sent in to get him. Like, first the Avengers go in, and then Carnage, like, takes them over.
Huh.
So then they're like, oh, crap, what are we going to do now? So then they send in... A team of, you know, government agents that are, Navy SEAL specialists, but they're all, you know, have the Carnage powers.
Weird.
In the end, it ends up being Venom, who is Flash.
Right.
He saves the day at the end.
Huh.
Basically.
Is it over?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's over now.
What about your print books?
Yeah, I was trying to make sure, because I read a lot of scans. Supergirl, did you read any of the Supergirl?
I haven't read the latest issue. Like, I've read up to where that other chick is there, and, you know, she's like the weapon from Krypton
right.
or whatever, and she basically just beats the crap out of her and then leaves her as kind of like a taunt.
Right.
You'll never be able to stop me, I'm too powerful, but that's far
obviously, as... she frees herself from Krypton and goes back to Earth to defend her.
Right. I just haven't read it yet.
How about the end of Luther Strode?
Yes. Wow, Luther Strode, that was a great series. I don't know, maybe we should save that one to talk about that as a complete series. But this is the story. I tried to tell you to read this series, and you were making fun of me. There's a guy named the Librarian! I'm a giant jerk face! That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I was saying I was a giant jerk face.
Yeah, and...
thanks, Dirt.
And then, but wasn't that a fantastic series?
Yeah, it was good.
Like, I almost think we should save that. We should save
we
that.
We will. And I don't know who the writer or the artist is either, dude. They're kind of new, aren't they? Or new to me.
Well, it's not going to be on the cover there, son.
Oh, I just had it.
Listen up, Junior.
I just had it. It was pooed up right there. There it is.
Who'd you poo on? Let me
see.
Do I have mine here?
Justin Jordan and Tradmore.
Yeah, no idea. But yeah, Strange Talent of Luther Strode, definitely worth reading.
Six issues, right?
I thought it was five? No, it was six. Yeah, it's six.
So there's that. Winter Soldier, did you read any of those?
No.
I haven't read the last one yet. And then what about Wolverine and the X-Men?
No, I don't read that one at all.
That one's good.
It says X-Men, it's like, Kryptonite, ah!
Wonder Woman?
Nope.
Okay.
I haven't been reading that one.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about every single one that I'm reading. We'd be here all night. Red Lanterns.
Nope.
Avengers Academy.
I try not to. I get sucked into it sometimes, but I don't know. Every issue now feels like a bad made-for-TV special episode. Oh, he's your father. Dun, dun, dun. They have feelings for each other.
Which makes,
dun, dun, dun.
Which makes sense because Christos Gage wrote a lot of made-for-TV shows.
Well, then there you go.
How about Green Lantern?
No, I haven't been keeping up on it.
Basically, Mysterio still has...
Mysterio?
Sinestro. Sorry, Sinestro still has Green Lantern...
His ring?
Yeah, he's still giving him his ring, but yet he's still under his servitude.
Okay.
So, Batgirl?
Yeah. I remember reading it. I don't remember anything about it. I just remember there was that whole thing with her mom appearing, but then she's just like, let's have coffee, I hate you, and then she left, and...
I still prefer
Stephanie Brown. Yeah, I agree on that one. You and me and nobody else, apparently.
Everybody's like, oh, Barbara's
Everybody else in the world hated Stephanie Brown, and I have never figured out why. Because she was Robin for 2 minutes, and they faked her death and then brought her back. That's the only thing I can find that people hate about her, is a bad storyline from 8 years ago.
So, but I wonder if any of them actually read it.
Probably not.
How about Batman and Robin?
Not current on it.
Well, so it kind of ties in with the Batman story with the Society of the Owls.
Okay, from regular Batman?
Right. And there's basically this guy is out to defeat Batman.
Right, like, and he knows his secret identity.
Right.
He knows who Robin is. He knows right. who Damian is.
He knows
is.
He's Damian.
Right.
So he's trying to convince Damian to turn on Batman and become evil.
Right. I got that.
But in the end, Damian was actually kind of playing both sides. Like pretending that, you know, oh, I
Double
hate
agent.
My father, you know. But in the end, he was actually with his dad all along.
Or he says.
Well, I don't know. Kid's pretty twisted.
He just goes
Kid
with the
Kid has some emotional problems. What about The Flash?
What about The Flash?
Can you read it?
I don't know if I'm current on it or not. I remember him getting shot, and then there's the issue after that where he's like, I don't understand why I got shot. I guess I must have been thinking about it too long. And then I don't know if there was another one after that, or
it's been a while since I actually read this last issue. I'm gonna have to
which issue number is that?
This is 4.
Yeah, there's gonna be some since that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be at least 6 or 7. They're on 6 and 7 now. Yeah. Well, what else you got?
Okay, Kick-Ass 2.
Didn't finish it. You can talk about it if you want.
There's just so much, you know? I mean, I just... Where do I draw the line? I was trying to find something that, you know, we could both share. So...
What, are we on a date?
Yes.
Well, hand me a PBR. Get me drunk. Have your way with me later.
Yes!
I mean, wait, what? Woo!
There you go.
PBR me. ASAP.
Basically, Hit Girl is fully involved again in issue 6, and in the end, Red Mist stages like this big riot of super criminals.
Doesn't he
in
try
Times Square? And there's a big face-off,
yeah,
between the superheroes and the villains in Times Square.
And Red Mist's like eye patch Russian
right.
chick who kills everybody.
But I love this right here. This was like my wallpaper on my phone
with Hit Girl.
Time. Which I can't actually say it because there's lots of expletives.
Well, I'm glad to know you have standards for this show.
I'm trying.
If you're going to have standards for a show, you might as well make it this one.
So,
all right, pick
two more books.
Two more books you want to talk about.
Of course.
Well, we can talk about that one at the end.
Okay, fine. okay, I don't know. How about that one and that one?
All right, what do you want to say about it?
Excuse me. Swamp Thing Reborn.
Okay, what about it?
Basically, Alec finally makes the decision to become Swamp Thing for good. To save... what's that girl's name? To save a girl, basically, who's been taken over by what they call the Rot.
Okay.
Which is like the anti-green.
Uh-huh.
And basically all of the elder swamp things are, you know, very disappointed in Alec because he wouldn't, you know, become Swamp Thing to begin with. But in the end, he does. And takes over, you know, and then at the end of this issue 7, he is Swamp Thing, you know, for real. He is no one. Because before...
Swamp
he
Thing was
Alec
like this,
separated from Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing was kind of like Bigfoot living out in the swamps.
Right.
And Alec was just like a dude trying to recover his life.
Right.
Okay. So he's basically given up his humanity by his own choice and gone back to being the monster.
Yep.
Okay.
And apparently he's a little different than what we're used to seeing Swamp Thing too. Like he can sprout wings.
Oh.
Like he can become different animals, I'm thinking. Huh. So I'm really interested to see where that's going. You know, this is Scott Snyder.
That's a trippy looking cover.
Yeah, and it's Yannick Paquette.
Yeah.
I love the art. It's very trippy, It's very, like,
it totally 60s, looks like, 70s. I was going to say, it's like an album cover from 1968.
That's right. This is my band's album cover. It was great.
This is my band, the Swamp Things.
Rocked, called Swamp Things.
We were at Woodstock East on the third stage, midnight on Tuesday.
So then, the latest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Donatello.
Part of that miniseries?
Yeah, so it's a miniseries about Donatello. Basically, he's...
Let me ask you this. Did you read a lot of Turtle stuff in the past, or is this the first series you've really gotten into?
I loved the Turtles when I was a kid.
Okay. How do you feel this Turtles... Like, obviously, there's some things that are going to be different. They started over, whatever.
There's more depth, there's more...
But, I mean, do you feel like it's true to the Turtles?
I don't remember everything
right.
from when I was a kid, but it seems to... I don't think they're manipulating too much. I mean, I'm sure Ryan Porter and Celine would probably have something to say about that. But in my eyes, it doesn't seem like it's that much different. They've changed it. There's some few alterations, but for the most part, they're minute. It still blends well. I mean, like...
Minute.
Yeah, it's
Isn't
small.
He a basketball player or something?
Yes. Real tall guy.
Real, okay.
I think the biggest difference is how the villains become to be. Like, it's a little different.
Have you heard the news about the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
Oh, no.
Michael Bay.
Oh, of course.
Wants to produce the new movie. He says he's working on a backstory for the Turtles. They're going to be hip. They're going to be cool. They're aliens.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yes, that's what he said.
Aliens?
And your reaction right here is exactly the same reaction everyone else has had. Oh, come on, man.
I mean, they're turtles. They were science experiments.
No, they're apparently from Dimension X.
Great.
They're aliens from another dimension, I guess.
Now, something. There is like a tie-in in the main title where there's like this alien race that like... And I vaguely remember there being alien involvement.
Well...
Yeah,
in...
Like a supervillain, one of the supervillains.
Well, I mean, there were lots of different things going on at the same time, but... I remember early on in the original Turtle series from the 80s, orange triceratops-looking dinosaur guys were actually aliens from another planet.
I think those guys are back in this series, in the main title.
See, I still haven't read beyond the first couple issues. It's just one of those things I need to sit down and
Well, it's nostalgic, it's fun, it seems pertinent, you know, it seems like it has weight to it, you know, if you're a Turtles fan, so...
And it sells really well, I can tell you, that's one of the top-selling books in our store.
Oh, if I had extra money, I'd be going back and getting variants. Yeah. I would. I just kind of strapped.
Yeah. All righty,
then. That's me.
I'm not going to talk about as many books as you did, because we are 27 minutes into this show, but some of the ones I do want to bring up... The Secret History of D.B. Cooper.
Is that like an old comic?
No, this is brand new from Oni Press.
D.B. Cooper, though? That sounds like...
Yeah, well, D.B. Cooper, he was the guy who hijacked an airplane.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He got the briefcase full of money, parachuted out, was never found again.
Yeah, like $50,000 or something.
Something outrageous. Well, this, basically, in this book...
Who's the writer?
Brian Cirilla.
Okay.
He's writer and artist. Basically, D.B. Cooper is an agent for the government. And he has this ability where he goes into a trance. And when he goes into the trance, he shifts into this alternate reality. When he's in this alternate reality, he's got like a katana sword. And there's like a talking rabbit that leads him around.
Is it a white rabbit?
And no. Well, maybe.
Down a hole?
It doesn't matter. But regardless, the point is, though, he'll be in this alternate reality, and he's looking for, like, the giant monster in the forest. And so he and the rabbit look for the giant monster. He finds the giant monster, and he cleaves the giant monster with his katana sword. Well, then it's like, meanwhile, in the real world, and you see, like, this Russian general sitting at his desk, and, like, the secretary brings in the tea, and he's like, ah, tea, blah, 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 and then suddenly his head splits open, and he falls over dead. Because D.B. Cooper, in the alternate reality, cleaves this thing right down the middle in the real world... The Russian general is cleaved right down the middle.
Huh.
So he slips into this alternate reality, and then whatever he does has effects in the real world.
Huh.
So it's really an interesting idea. And this is one of those books that, like, we ordered 10 copies. Randomly. No, we've sold out.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. And for a book that had, you know, nothing going, not a single person asked for it in advance.
Who's Oni Press?
Yeah. So, a really fun book. $4.
Ooh.
It's one of the higher priced ones, but it's better. Let's see here. Some other stuff going on.
Drinking always helps a sinus infection. Just drink more.
Avenging Spider-Man, still a great series. Ultimate Spider-Man, still a great series. Voltron. I know, it's like, come on, just give me giant robots.
I want it to be good. And it's just like, I'm tired of them like, oh, well, you know, we should go into hiding because we need to find out how to defeat the bad guys when they come. It's like, who cares? How about let's have the bad guys come and fight?
Just give me giant robots fighting each other. Deathstroke. Love Deathstroke. There's only one more good issue left.
I read, the first issue.
There's only one more good issue left, and then Rob Liefeld takes over, so I'll be dumping it after issue 8. But, in this...
Don't you think that's fitting, though, that Liefeld's doing Deathstroke?
Well, he created the character. No, he didn't create the character. He just made him popular again.
It just seems like a character that he would...
I gotta slow down on the drinking.
Write and draw.
Alright, Avengers...
You're skipping a lot of stuff there. Agent Empire? We're not gonna talk about Agent Empire?
No, I'm not. I know, but it's not over yet. Because there's still another one to go. Did you read 1, 2, and 3?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's 4.
Ooh.
Alright. Avengers Assemble.
You're not getting this right.
Did you read Avengers Assemble?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Okay.
I've got it. I just haven't read it.
Incredibly pointless.
Okay, good.
Like,
I'll read it when I'm, like, really tired
late at
night.
So,
if I want something to read to fall asleep to...
There's Avengers. There's New Avengers. This book serves absolutely no purpose.
Are you kidding? So this is a running title, then?
This is an ongoing, yeah. And it is the most worthless... Like, it's...
Why is...
A giant... Okay, so there's this new group of supervillains, and they're like, we're all going to be signs of the Zodiac. And then the Avengers are like, hey, there's some fighting over there. Let's go find out what it is. And it's a giant Minotaur. And they go to fight the Minotaur, and the Minotaur is very strong. And they go, oh my gosh, how are we going to defeat him? Boom. Into the issue. I'm like, are you... This is the quickest, dumbest read. Like, nothing about the characters... There's no depth in any of the characters. Like, this is almost, if you had...
So if it was gone in the Marvel world, nobody would...
This would be the book you would give, like, your...
6-year-old son.
Well, I was going to say 8 or, you know, 10-year-old cousin. And just be like, yeah, look, there's an Avengers book.
Hey.
It's not going to get too deep. Don't worry about it. Firestorm. I sat down and caught up with Firestorm, and I'm sorry I did. I want that title to succeed. Ethan Van Sciver, I really wish he had been given more control over the book. He's co-writing it with Gail Simone. She left the title, so starting somewhere, I don't know if it's next issue or the issue after, she'll be off the book, and I'm hoping that will fix the problem. But it is not good.
The only time I ever liked Firestorm was Blackest Night.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is it's not consistent, and the artwork is really bad for the first, like, 4 issues, and then they brought in a different inker to ink the guy's pencils, and it got better. That definitely helped, but Ethan Van Sciver is a great artist, and the fact that they only have him writing and doing covers and not doing any of the artwork just really sucks, because he's doing great work on the covers, and then you open it up, and you're like, oh, God.
Isn't it a different team behind Firestorm 2?
Well...
In the reboot?
Yeah, in the reboot, there's basically, like, a Firestorm... power that the scientist is investigating, and he unleashes it, and these 2 kids both get versions of the Firestorm power, and they realize if they get mad and collide into each other, they create like this fury version of Firestorm, where they're both stuck inside, and it's kind of working autonomously, and they try to control it.
That's an interesting twist.
And, well, but the thing is, there are other Firestorms all over the world. So other people had gotten a hold of this technology. So there's a Russian one.
Oh.
There's one from this nation, Kurak, in the middle of the Middle East. And he's like a terrorist suicide bomber, Firestorm. And, you know, so it's
great.
Like...
Great!
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, there are some interesting things to it. But the character dialogue is so god-awful and inconsistent. And there are times when a character replies...
To himself?
To the other character, but the first character didn't say anything.
Hmm.
So he's like, where to? What do you mean, where to? Where do you think we should be going? But the first guy never asked where to.
Why aren't you responding to me? Why won't you talk to me?
It's just like the dumbest... I don't know. It's not good. There's a Supergirl I have to read. I haven't read it yet. So
I really like Supergirl. Wonder Woman in Circle with Supergirl.
Have you ever read Tiny Titans?
Like a freebie.
Oh, man.
Comic book day.
I love Tiny Titans. Just hit 50 issues.
Oh, by the way, what do you think of the new DC label?
I like it. The Peel label. It's all right.
I think it's not as flashy as the last one.
Well, part of the reason is so they can customize it. They've got some design ideas behind it. But anyway, I'm all right with it. I don't have a problem. But, I mean, they just changed their logo like 5 years ago or whenever the first Batman movie came out. So, I mean, whatever. Okay, Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi. Ryan Porter, who does the Comics Corner on our website, on PopCultureNetworkIneedComics.com, he loved this series. So I said, you know, well, he was right about Agent of the Empire. So right. I'll give it a shot, you know. So I went out. I found the first issue today, actually, at Barnes & Noble.
Uh-huh.
Two is already out, direct market. So, you know, newsstand is still a little farther behind.
I read the first issue.
There was a zero issue. And then this is the first issue.
Okay, I think I read the zero. And the zero is just all about the build, about the Dawn of the Jedi universe.
I think the zero may be the first half of this book, because the first half of this book talks about these pyramid things.
Yes,
and
the
it awakens
societies.
Something within them, and they all come to this. It's the Jedi.
Yeah.
Which you realize later on, okay, that's going to be the Jedi's. But
and
it's
then
like,
there's also like the Sith.
Right. But, okay. The thing with this book is that I think what was in the zero is the first half, because the first half is this big, sweeping, epic tale
right.
of these people being brought together
yes.
and then torn apart
right.
and then trying to figure out their place
There's
in the world.
There's all these different temples throughout
and then,
the galaxy.
Right, and they get the different training and whatever. But then suddenly you flip the page and it's an older Jedi telling the story to two little kids, and they're talking about the balance of the Force and whatever. And then suddenly it switches from being this big, epic tale to, you know, the story of these Jedis, and then there's this bad Jedi, and he's trying to find this place in the middle of the galaxy, and these other aliens with these big goofy eyeballs are controlling the Sith ones because they're working for him and whatever, and, like, suddenly it just kind of went from this great epic tale to just like, oh, it's another Star Wars.
Right.
So, I don't know, I'll try issue two just to give it a shot when I find a copy of it, but I loved the first half of this book, which was that big, sweeping, epic tale. I didn't like it when it narrowed its focus and slowed back down.
Hmm.
So,
ooh, I'm excited about the next one you have in your
hands. All right, Justice League.
Yay.
This is actually a fairly controversial issue.
Why?
Because a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people didn't like that it suddenly jumped to the present time. They didn't like how it got goofy again.
Wait a minute, I don't think I've read seven. I think I read six was the last one I read.
Six was where Darkseid appears.
Yes.
And they beat him back.
They beat him up.
Okay,
okay, I've read
the next
seven.
One. Okay, well, and then the debut of Shazam.
Okay.
Formerly known as Captain Marvel in the DC Universe, but they didn't have the trademark for it, so they could never title a book Captain Marvel. So they always had to title the books like The Power of Shazam or The Fury of Shazam or Shazam Family or whatever. Well, finally they just decided we're just going to call the character Shazam since we trademarked Shazam, but we don't have a trademark for Captain Marvel because Marvel ended up, you know, getting that one. So, in this universe, Shazam, instead of being like the pure, wholesome little kid, he's a bratty kid from an orphanage that nobody wants to adopt.
What do you feel about the team, though? The Justice League team?
Well, I don't want to say a whole lot then since you haven't read that issue.
Okay.
There definitely is a shift in focus when you get to seven. The character relationships have changed a little bit, and there's a character in the book who's not a member of the Justice League, who's like their liaison, whatever, and he, I think, ends up being the most sympathetic character in the entire thing. So I'll read that. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I think the last thing I'm going to talk about here is this book. This is called Freedom.
What is that?
It's by Seamus Heffernan.
You've got like this big... This is like an oversized...
Okay. Yeah, this is what? Like 11 by 9 or something?
It's huge.
$7, black and white. It's drawn in a style that almost looks like Revolutionary War...
comics?
Yeah, I was going to say political comics. And basically, the idea is during the Revolutionary War, the book. The book is called Freedom. We haven't actually said the name of the book, by Seamus Heffernan. Freedom, it's basically, there's this legend of this...
bird chopping off people's heads?
Liberty Eagle, as he's known. Which, of course, makes sense in, you know, the United States
turkey
lore. Right. You know, according to Benjamin Franklin. But the British Redcoats are trying to find the Liberty Eagle. And they're basically going from town to town. They're attacking people. They're
So it's like political satire,
they're,
sort of?
They're trying to find... Well, basically, what it turns out being is that Liberty Eagle is like the original Batman of the United States.
Wow.
So it's like he's this first superhero of the United States, and he's just like this guy who appears in shadows. He comes out, he makes an attack, he leaves. And so it's like this legend. Like, who is this Liberty Eagle? And people, oh, there is no Liberty Eagle. And then sure enough, you know, there's, you know, an attack on the British, and there's this guy who appears to be dressed in feathers. But you don't really get a good look at him. Nobody really knows.
Huh.
But the story is basically about this small boy who's traveling to Boston, I think to meet family. I forget exactly why. And he basically gets caught up in the Revolutionary War. And he doesn't want to be a part of it. You know, he just kind of wrong place, wrong time, and gets trapped. And then he finds out that whatever this Liberty Eagle is, it exists. It's a being. This was a fantastic read.
Huh.
This is the first one. He has it set up to be an ongoing series. And I don't know if, you know, if he's got these mapped out, if there's a whole bunch of these done. Like, if this is going to end up being ongoing, like, every 2 months or 3 months or something like that. Or if it'll just be, like, one a year as he gets them done. But that was a really great book. I highly recommend that. It's $7, which is expensive, but it's 64 pages. And like I said, it's oversized. The artwork is really ingenious, the way he does the styling. He does all the lettering by hand, and it looks like old, you know, like when you see old newspapers from
that
period. It
looks like a quick read, too.
Well, and it's really, it's laid out well. It's told well. You know, a lot of times when you get books that are, you know, indie press, they have issues with the story flow. But this guy's a great storyteller. I mean, this story was really well done. So, Freedom. And it's from Potato Comics. It's definitely worth picking up. So, I really enjoyed it. I'll let you borrow that one. You can read it.
Huh. Potato Comics.
Potato Comics.
I wonder if they'll be at C2E2. Which, oh, by the way, it's coming up. It's coming up, folks.
I have my suspicions that Potato Comics is Seamus Heffernan and nobody else. But... All right, well, we're 42 minutes into the show.
Yeah, okay.
I think we're going to have to do...
Didn't we talk about streamlining this show?
Yeah, I know, exactly, and look where we're at. So,
We'll just cover one issue, or one topic.
When we come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Because we never said
well,
what we were
about,
doing this
let's
show.
Let's talk about it in the break, because...
We're going to take a commercial break,
yeah.
And then when we come back, we'll
our surprise you.
Second segment, which
That's right.
I haven't decided what it is. We got some options here, so.
So, big question mark out there.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Hey guys, it's Killen, and I'm here to discuss a new show coming every Monday on the Pop Culture Network. It is the Video Game Leisure Show. Every week we'll discuss the news relating to video games, we'll talk about some releases, and have a short discussion on whatever random topic we think is relevant that week. It's going to start myself, and of course, I'm not Dirk, so be sure to check us out on VGLeisure.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Yay!
Won't you take me to a funky town?
All right. Shots of Captain Morgan. Here we go.
Oh. Remember I told you my throat was hurting earlier? Now it's numb.
Well, good. It's numb. Now it doesn't hurt. That's the vanilla.
Whew. Is it?
Yeah.
It's just the original spice.
Oh, maybe my glass was dirty. Whew. Good stuff.
All right. We are back.
Oh. Good one. Good night.
We're throwing around beer cans.
All right, so here we are, Comaholic segment 2. And so I think we've decided our topic here.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and do this as a 2-segment show. And then we're going to try sometime in the next week and a half, we'll get right together.
We're going to talk about some more stuff. Birth out another one.
So for right now,
them out for you. We're doing this for you, you know.
My little short shorts.
Hey.
My little short shorts. All right, so our segment tonight, segment 2, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And you wanted to discuss, one of the main things you wanted to talk about was the TV show and how it's different from the comics.
Right.
But let's go ahead and take a minute to talk about the comics, since there was an issue that came out, 2 weeks ago, I think?
Yeah. I'm behind, so it probably was 2 weeks ago. A Larger World, Part 2. Issue 94.
Here, wait, let me see this.
Which we all know something's coming, issue 100.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, Kirkman does that type of thing all
I'm
the time.
I'm afraid that he's going to kill Carl off or something. That's really going to
If he kills Carl off, I'm dropping the series. Okay, yeah, this is the last one.
Yeah.
So, Walking Dead, A Larger World. So, basically, we had this guy appear a couple issues ago.
Who goes by the name of Jesus.
Because he looks like Jesus.
Yeah.
And he basically says that there are other settlements out there, and he's a runner that basically takes supplies from one settlement to another settlement.
He's claiming to be a lot like, what's the gay guy in the group who introduced them to the little settlement they live in now? Where he went out and sought them out and brought them in. Remember, they didn't trust him either?
Not particularly.
Okay.
But anyway.
He's a minor character in it, but...
Well, anyway, so my speculation was that this guy's a liar. My speculation was that there was no other settlement. This guy is going to get, you know, a couple of them to go out, and he was going to torture them, or he's there to steal their supplies or their ammo or something.
Well, just because he was a badass fighter. That's just, like, was, like, threw the red flags up to me.
But, I mean, if you're going to survive in the zombie apocalypse, you got to learn how to fight. You know what I mean?
Which, I just watched Zombieland again today, just for fun. The Bill Murray scene is my favorite.
That's really the only part of that movie I like.
Yeah.
Is the Bill Murray stuff. I don't really care for that movie.
When he gets shot and he's like lets out this death curl.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So, as it turns out, though, you find out at the end of issue 94 that
there really is
this settlement up on the hill, this walled-off neighborhood or small town.
It's like
whatever,
a big fort.
Whatever it is. And there's you can see like a couple of fires, you know. Smoke coming out, so they've got, you know, something going on.
It's like
there.
A big barter town.
So, do you think that's going to turn out to be legit, or do you think it's going to turn out to be like this wasteland he's just, like, drawing them into for some reason? Do you think it's going to be real?
I'm skeptical. I'm still skeptical.
Like, where could it go, though? Where could it go?
If it is real, this is why I'm skeptical, because if it is real, the direction that the story is going... It has taken it to a larger world. You know, it's not going to be just about the group anymore. It's going to be about the whole big picture of, you know, survival of the species.
Which, you know? I don't know that I care for.
No, I kind of liked it being just this core group trying to just find its way. I was kind of hoping that it would go the opposite direction. The bleak, dismal truth that there is no other settlements. And...
Or
they
if they are
on their own.
Or if they are, they're small, yeah, isolated.
And they're twisted,
right.
You know.
Because, I mean, there have been other groups that they've run into. Like, there was the group known as the Hunters.
The Governor. The Governor.
Well, there was the Governor in his town. There were the Hunters, who were the cannibals, that were capturing the people and eating them. So you did have those other groups, but they were never... this is
like a civilized society.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like an ongoing civilization.
Is there like Tina Turner gonna be living in like a birdcage in the middle of the town and then like they
two
run
men
the
enter, one man leave.
They run it on like poop or something, you know? That's what I'm getting at though. Like, is it gonna like go into this
Mad Max Waterworld?
Yeah, that's like you know, that is the subtitle, a larger world. You know,
I don't like that idea. Like the idea that there's going to be this bigger social structure, this, you know, bigger remnant of civilization, I don't like, because the whole idea of what makes the zombie apocalypse so terrifying is the idea that you're isolated.
And
that there is no hope.
You're all alone. There is no, yeah. There's no recovery of society.
Right. You can't stop people from dying, which means there will always be a threat.
So my thing is, if Kirkman is going to do this, it's going to implode on itself.
Well, it has to. My one thought is that they're going to go to this town, something's going to happen, Rick's going to freak out, start a fight with somebody, and that's going to make all of them go, well, we got to go destroy their settlement. And so then he's got to go back, he's going to grab Carl and one other person, and they're going to escape, and everybody else dies in the battle, and then it kind of resets. That's the only way I can see it
and
going.
And they're just on the run again.
Right. I mean, because that's the only way I can see it working out, because do you really want to see Rick? I know, guys, we'll build blimps, and then we can travel from place to place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got locomotives!
I've got a teleporter belt.
I mean...
Okay, so here's my question. If they are on the run, the group splits up back down to a core, who would you keep?
Well, I see, and that's the other thing. Because at this point, you'd say, well, I want Glenn to be there, but Glenn's been there for so long. I mean, really what it comes down to is maybe Rick will die, and maybe it'll be Carl and Glenn. You know? I mean, Rick is certainly the face and the voice of the series, but you get to 100 issues, maybe it should be Carl. You know?
I think it should be Rick, Andrea, Carl, Michonne. The only ones left.
No Glenn? You want Glenn to die?
Sorry, Glenn. You know, I mean, he's a great character, but... I don't know. Yeah, I mean... I don't know. I want Glenn to live too, I guess. But, you know, at the same time, somebody has to go.
Somebody's got to go, but I almost wonder if it's
really
going
to
be Rick.
I don't want it to be Carl or Rick. I really don't.
I kind of think it's got to be Rick.
Why? I like Rick.
Well, I mean, I like Rick too, but there have been a lot of characters I like. I like Dale.
Yes.
You know.
Okay, and then crossing over.
All right, okay, so anyway.
The TV show.
So there's what's going on basically in the ongoing series, how we feel about it. Now, if we go to the TV series and some of the differences between the TV
series.
And,
you know, let's start off by saying that, you know, Kirkman has avidly stated
that there will be differences.
It is different. And the reason why he did that was because he wants fanboys and girls to embrace the show and still be surprised.
Well, yeah, there's something to get excited for, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the fact that there are changes, especially because he, A, signed off on it, and B, it's kept true to the heart of the story, even though some things have changed.
Well, let's discuss what is the heart of the story.
Rick and Carl. I mean, that's really...
And they're
the father and son trying to survive
and trying to hold on to their own morality,
right?
Because you know, Rick is trying to raise his son in two different places.
He wants him to be strong,
right,
and survive,
but still be a child.
He still wants him to have some of those you know, fun childlike moments.
Anyways, I'm sorry, sidetrack. Back to the show.
Okay, so back to the show. Well, start off the series. Started basically the same as the comic. You know, Rick is shot. He's in the coma. He's in the
hospital.
But Shane
hangs on.
He wakes up. He finds that, you know, the zombie apocalypse has happened. He meets up with Dwayne and his son. They kind of explain to him what's going on. He takes off for Atlanta.
Yeah,
he finds Atlanta overrun. He meets up with Glenn and the survivors. And so all of that is basically the same. The only real...
And he finds Lori and Carl.
Well, the only major divergence in that storyline is...
Shane's still around.
No, because we haven't gotten to that part yet. Because Shane is around. for a while after he finds the survivors.
Isn't he gone? Like, no. After, like, issue 20 or something?
Well, maybe issue 20, but we're still in, like, the first 6 or 8 here.
Yeah, that's true.
But the only real divergence comes from Daryl Dixon and his brother Merle. And those were characters created specifically for the TV show.
Right.
And...
which I speculated for the longest time that Daryl was going to be Michonne's replacement. Like, okay, he's not going to introduce Michonne. Daryl is the Michonne of the group.
And you were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. Michonne is in the very end of
Daryl is my favorite racist ever.
I like Daryl.
I mean,
you know, Daryl's like the most intelligent person of the group. Really,
well, he's the one like street smart.
Yeah,
in a sense, you know, he's
like even towards the end
smart.
Even towards the end of season two, when the group is just like totally falling apart, and even like Dale makes a statement, you know, this group is broken to Daryl as he's walking out. Daryl has been living on the outskirts of the farmhouse. Like, he doesn't want anything to really do with the group. Like, he's just kind of fed up with everybody.
Well, but at the same time...
but he cares.
Yeah, because I was going to say, at the same time, he puts so much on the line trying to find Sophia. And he saves that chick with the unfortunate haircut several times. And it's just kind of one of those things where you can tell that... like, you get this real sense that Merle was... the racist.
Right.
Merle was the one who was really
and
the villain.
Daryl was the good guy.
Daryl was his little brother, so he always did what his big brother did. And he's sad that his brother's gone, and he wants to emulate his brother, and his brother was, you know, the last son of the Confederacy and all of that kind of garbage. And so he, you know, he's trying to stay true to that, but that's not really who he is.
No.
So he's the one character that's really struggling.
I think
more
he's
than
the most
else.
Dynamic.
He is the most dynamic. And I would and here's the thing. They came out with the action figures, and his action figure immediately sold out, went big bucks. All the others from the Walking Dead series were just kind of like, meh, here, whatever. But his was in high demand. So that tells you something about the character.
He's light. He's light.
And, you know, Daryl Dixon, if they did the Daryl Dixon crazy redneck halftime hunting hour, you know.
You'd watch it?
I'd be watching that show every week. You know, him just doing his thing. But so that was the first major divergence, was that whole storyline with Merle, Merle getting trapped on the rooftop, and they leave him, and then they go back for him, and you know all that
kind
of
stuff.
What
about isn't the relationship between Dale and Andrea different too?
It is. They changed that
because it's actually a romantic relationship in the comic book.
Well, because that comes with the whole Shane thing.
Right.
In the original,
Shane hangs on in the show.
Right. Originally, he. Rick finds his wife and son. They're living, you know, in this roving settlement. Shane is there. He's taking care of him. So all of that follows the comic. But in the comic, Shane dies off a lot sooner.
Right. Carl shoots Shane, just like in the TV show. But in the comic, Shane doesn't immediately turn into a zombie.
Well,
he pulls the gun on Rick, and Rick is surprised, and then Shane shoots... Carl shoots Shane in the neck.
In the comic...
to defend his dad.
Well, wait, but in the comic, Carl shoots Shane when he's alive.
Right.
Rick goes back and shoots him when he becomes a zombie.
Right.
In the TV show, Rick shoots Shane, and then Carl ends up shooting zombie Shane.
Right.
So the Carl-Rick shots
reverse.
Oh,
another big difference. In the CDC, when he whispers in his ear...
Okay, well, wait. Time.
Okay.
There is no CDC in the comic.
Right.
So, the CDC is TV only. That whole storyline of the Center for Disease Control was not in the comic.
I thought there was a small segment where they, like, went to, like, an abandoned CDC.
Well, I think they find a place that had, like, a bunch of supplies and whatnot, but they didn't find the scientist who decides to blow himself up, you know, because his wife was the...
Were you surprised that in the TV show... because they changed the zombie premise a little bit.
Well, and that's the other thing I was going to bring up, is because the whole CDC storyline was only there to explain how the zombie thing kind of works. And none of that was ever in the comic. So in the comic, you never have any sort of explanation how it happened, why it happened.
Do you think that's just to appease the masses?
I think so. I think they wanted to have some kind of explanation.
The average comic book reader, especially those that love Walking Dead... don't really want to know why.
Well, I think for most comic book fans who read Walking Dead, you're already familiar with zombies. Whereas the Walking Dead TV show is for people who've never really seen... like, you've got the fans going, hey, you've got to watch this show. And you might tell, like, some co-worker of yours, you know, oh, you gotta check out the show, it's so great. And they watch Mad Men.
Right.
And they watched Sopranos. So they were like, well, you know, I watched the Godfather TV show. I watched the, you know, whatever TV show. So now it's like the zombie. Yeah. Like, okay, well, this is the zombie TV show, so I'll check it out.
Well, the way I sell people on it is I tell people it's kind of like Lost. If you liked Lost, it's kind of like that. At least that's what the TV show kind of presents itself as. And it's not all about the zombies. Mm. It's more about the social structure and these people trying to survive in a time that is not survivable.
Right.
You know.
Okay, so the CDC thing was completely new.
And then there's a part in the CDC where the dude whispers into Rick's ear that you are all contaminated.
Right.
You all have the zombie disease. So the premise around zombies in the TV show is,
well,
that everybody carries the disease. You know, you may, while you're alive, as long as you're not attacked by another zombie, you won't turn. But as soon as you die, you turn.
Well, okay. In the comic, though, it's the same rules. They're just never given an explanation. And basically, the conversation that Rick had, where he's telling them, you know, he told me that at the CDC that we're all carrying the plague. And
he has a similar conversation.
Well, he has a similar one, except in the comic, that's when he gives the speech, I think, is when he gives the speech that says, there is no hope for us. We are the Walking Dead.
Right.
Because you thought this whole time the series, The Walking Dead, was about the zombies.
That's
it's not.
Right,
it's about
yes.
them, because eventually all of those people are going to die and turn into zombies.
Right.
So it's understood in the comic, because that's the rule of zombies.
Right.
You know, they don't have to bite you if you get shot, if you have a heart attack, if you die of old age.
Yeah.
You know, how as long as you die and your brain isn't splattered, you're going to turn into a zombie and come back to life.
Right.
And that's just understood as the rules of zombies.
Right.
And so, like I said, I think for the TV show, they have to explain some of that stuff, because people are going to be like, well, he didn't get bit. How did he get turned? Well, that's the rule of zombies. How
right.
do you not know the rule of zombies? You know? You got to explain it to them. So I think that's why that whole thing had to happen the way it did. But I kind of think that that speech that Rick gave saying that we are the Walking Dead happened in the prison.
Right.
So I wonder if they will do that, you know, throw that in there next season. But this speech that he gave here was very similar at the end of season two.
I really like how at the end of the seasons, they do this kind of sweeping landscape picture.
Like foreshadowing where it's going?
Because it's a lot like what you see in the comic. For example, at the end of issue 94, you know, we just talked about the foreshadowing of this, like,
what
big Ford city.
What was the end of season one? Was that him running up to the farmhouse, or was that just Carl?
That was
inside?
Him running up to the farmhouse
okay.
with Carl.
Okay.
Because Carl got shot.
Well, yeah, I didn't know if he actually made it to the farmhouse at the
no,
end
No, it just
of
shows
season.
Him running up to the farmhouse.
Okay.
So you know the farmhouse is coming, and
okay.
then it's like this big sweeping.
Right, okay. Now, the other big change, of course, we mentioned Shane sticks around longer, and in this version of it, because Shane sticks around, it changes some of the events that happens at Herschel's farm.
Mm-hmm.
He and Andrea are an item instead of Dale and Andrea.
Right.
So Andrea's character is completely changed by this, because she has that relationship with Shane, and she knows that Shane is no good, but she doesn't care.
Right.
She just wants to survive. After seeing her sister die, she just doesn't give a crap anymore.
Right.
Which
is different, because in the comic, Dale turns her around.
Right. Yeah, she wants to die, and Dale talks her out of it, and the two of them fall in love, and she's got that big scar on her face,
right.
and she's like, how can anyone love me with this big scar? And
how did she
like,
get
oh.
cut again? It was like a fight.
I think
a
it was
zombie.
Just I think it was the big attack on the camp
yeah.
that where her sister dies. So, I mean, that was a big major difference. And then, of course, in the comic, Herschel had, like, 12 kids.
Right.
Or something, living on his farm. Whereas on the TV show, he's got,
like,
four.
Yeah.
And Kirkman actually addressed that. Somebody asked him about that. And he just said, well, you know.
Well, for the show. I mean,
because when you're drawing a comic, you can draw people sitting around. But when you're paying actors on a set,
yeah.
you can't just pay people to stand there, you know.
It's so, like, okay, you're child number six.
We need you to be on set for 14 days, but we're only going to pay you
$6. Well, I even thought it was kind of funny, just even the extra kids that you know are going to die because they're the extra kids that only get like 3 seconds on the show. That they were, like, literally, they got, like, 2 seconds on the show, and then...
Well, you see someone, like, cooking, and they walk in the kitchen. Have you seen Dale? They're, and they just go,
they're the
and then they walk
they're
out,
the Star
and
Trek
like,
red
yeah.
shirts, you know?
Like, oh, they're dead. And then, of course, this season, we had Dale die.
Yeah.
Dale lasted all the way up to, like, issue 88 or 90, right. something like that. I mean, he lasted a very long time.
And he is a key part of...
There's a lot of stuff that he...
So I'm really interested to see how Kirkman's going to fill that void.
Because the RV played a big part in some of the stuff coming up with the prison, just the way they used it. And, of course, they can't do that now. And, as it turns out, Dale... Dale, the actor who plays Dale, I can't think of his name... he originally was supposed to live. He was supposed to stay on. But when Frank Darabont was fired from directing and producing the show or whatever...
they changed it.
He said, well, if he goes, I go.
Wow.
And they said, well, okay. You know, I guess we'll kill you off. And so...
see, that's unfortunate. That's when you see the story lose value because... People can't get along.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happens.
It's a shame. It's a detriment to the show.
Now, here's the thing.
Because I like Dale, and he is kind of the moral compass.
Yeah, he's a good character.
And actually, I love the actor. I thought he did a fantastic job. And the other thing I wanted to point out, I kind of realized why they kept Shane, because he was a great actor, too.
Yeah.
He was a compelling character.
That guy's got a new TV show, so it was time for him.
Well, I might watch that TV show. I mean, I really like that actor. I thought he played the character well. Like, there's a lot of depth to him, you know.
Well, but the whole thing with Otis, which was a complete never in the comic at all, that was completely new. And of course, Sophia survived in the comic. She doesn't in the TV show.
She's still alive in the comic.
Yeah, because she's Carl's little girlfriend,
right?
And so Carl gets
and
to
you
play
know what? And Sophia was kind of like. What grounded Carl.
Because Carl started to go a little nuts there for a while,
Sophia
too.
Sophia kind of brought her back. So, I mean, you've got all these different tightropes that, you know, Kirkman is walking on to try to keep these characters in line. I'm really curious to see how he's going to kind of pull this off. Or if he's just going to completely shift it and the characters are going to be different, you know?
Well, I mean... It's going to have to. I mean, Andrea is completely different, and she doesn't have Dale there to bring her around, so something different is going to happen with her. I don't know what that's going to end up being. Then, of course, when they go to the prison, the characters that they meet there, you know, I wonder if they're going to meet the same group of everybody. And then, of course, they cast someone to play the governor. So you know that's
Ooh.
Coming next season. So but here's the thing.
What if he leaves it out? What if he leaves the governor out?
Well, no, he won't because they hired an actor to play him.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I mean that was announced. I almost wonder who did they
hire? Do you know?
It's somebody I didn't recognize.
Because you know who I have in my mind? The guy that was like the main actor in Machete, the knife guy. Oh, what's his name? You know what I'm talking about?
Danny Trio?
Yeah. Is that his name?
Is it Danny?
But anyways, that was who I had pictured in my mind when I was reading the comic. Was him. You know, and he's like this like badass. And he kind of looks Latin or Hispanic, you know?
You think so, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
You think so? David Morrissey. British actor David Morrissey has been cast.
That's gonna be a tough role.
This guy.
What? He doesn't look anything like the governor.
Well, yeah, they'll put him in a wig and give him a.
What, a mustache and a long hair and.
Yeah, Danny Trio. Well, here's this. Morrissey lands a role that had been speculated to actually be a season one baddie. Though more recently, such actors as Danny Trio, John Hawkes, and horror legend Tom Savini.
Oh, so I was close.
Have all campaigned for the role.
Huh. Wow.
So they all tried to get it, and they gave
it
to
this guy.
That was
a total guess on my part, but that was just, you know, who I had in my mind when I was reading the comics, so. See, I should be a producer. I should be a casting call guy.
Kirkman said at last year's Comic-Con, the one thing I'm adamant about is I don't think we should cut Rick's hand off on television.
What?
So that whole thing looks to be out.
Why? Why is he adamant about it?
Well, because for an actor on television, that means now you got to do the thing where the guy's got the fake little nub on his hand, and he's always got the extra super long arm with a nub that always looks completely fake.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like when the guy gets his arm cut off, and you can tell he's holding it behind him with, like, the vest on top with the sleeve cut off, you know?
It'd be a hard role to fill, I guess.
Yeah, it just kind of... It doesn't work as well on that. But the whole Woodbury storyline is something that they're going to introduce. I just wonder if they're not going to introduce the idea of Woodbury until, like, the mid-season cliffhanger. And then you don't get that whole storyline with the governor and everything until the beginning of, like, season 4. Like, it's something they'll kind of tease in that cliffhanger at the mid-season, and then not really even roll out until, like, the end
of
the season.
So, speaking of the governor, let's talk about Michonne.
Well, she's been cast.
Yeah.
They cast somebody to play her.
Yeah, well, she's at the very end of the season finale.
Yeah. Which you totally spoiled.
What? I posted
D-bag. No, you didn't.
I posted a picture on Facebook.
And you didn't, well, first of all, well, no, you did on Google+.
Did I? Okay. Yeah.
But you didn't, here's a spoiler for Walking Dead, and then reply and put it so you have to click on it in order to see it.
Oh, you big
baby. You just threw it out there. So I go to my computer, I go check my email, whatever, I click the thing up, and it's like, boom. It's like, oh, season finale's been spoiled for me. Thanks a lot, D-bag.
It's not really spoiled for you, because it's kind of like an add-on to the end of the season finale.
You shouldn't have done it, man.
Whatever. You're fine. It just made you want to go watch that episode that night, I'm sure. Michonne is one of my favorite characters. She's badass. I love how they introduced her in the TV show. Very true to how she's introduced in the comic. But I think in the comic, the group is in trouble. Not just Andrew, alone in the woods. One of the things I like about Michonne is she's kind of this no-nonsense... Oh, I got the hiccups.
Are you going to be all right?
No. I think it was a shot. No-nonsense kind of character that, she doesn't mess around, and she's the kind of person you want in a battle. You know, she's... When your back's against the wall, you want a Michonne in your group. I mean, how does she become so proficient in the samurai sword again?
She just had to. They actually just did the origin of Michonne in, an 8-page special in Playboy magazine.
What?
And somebody went, bought one, scanned the 8 pages or whatever, and put them up online, so you don't have to go buy it. You can actually go to the popculturenetwork.com message boards, go to comic book discussion, you can find the pages posted there. I posted them on our message board.
Okay.
If you want to go read them. But yeah. Allard. Wait, regardless.
Allard.
He drew it. So, I mean, it looks like every other issue of Walking Dead. And it's basically just her husband and his friend that she never liked are sitting at home, you know, when a zombie apocalypse breaks out, and she tries to run home to them and then, like, gets separated from them. She finds her neighbor has these samurai swords because he's, like, one of those 24-year-old with a Xbox 360, big screen TV, right, and the samurai swords over the fireplace, right, you know? She's like, I always hated this guy, but thank God these are here. She pulls one out, you know? And she goes back to her house, and they've been infected. You know, they're both zombies now. And so she ends up fighting them and ends up ripping the jaw off of, like, her husband, and then realizes he can't bite her now. And so then it becomes that whole...
Right.
Cuts off their arms, pulls off their jaws, puts them in the chains, and just you know, drags them along so that the other zombies stay away.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting premise.
So, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to the forums, go to comic book discussions, and you can find the pages there of the storyline. So, So she just got good with him because she had to.
What do you feel about Glenn's relationship with Maggie in the show versus
the comic? Maggie's hot.
Yeah. Much hotter much hotter on the show.
Well, she had one of those bad haircuts in the comic. Yeah. Or she had the haircut of Butch, Sophia's mom.
Which made more sense, because, you know, they're not going to a salon. You know, they're making do with what they got.
Yeah, but you don't want to look like...
cut with, like, a Boy Scout knife.
It might be the end of the world, but let's not look like slobs.
Oh, whatever.
I mean, come on. You still got a shower, right?
What was it, San Diego Con, where Maggie was present, Shane was present, Carl was there, I think Lori was there, I mean, like, everybody was there. Glenn will be at C2E2.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ooh.
So, that's kind of making me think, well, if Glenn's going to be there, he's probably going to be sticking around for a while.
Oh, are you going to see if he wants to go out for drinks?
No, I mean with the show.
Oh!
I would love to go have drinks with him, but I don't know if that's his thing, you know.
He might think you're hitting on him.
If it works, if I can get an interview, I'll do it.
To take one for the team.
Yeah. No, and Glenn's character is great, too. He's, but... On the TV show, I have to say that I think Daryl's the most dynamic. On the comic book side of things, it's tough. I don't really know who the most dynamic character is right now.
I mean,
it's kind of in flux. You know, it's not.
For me, Carl is the one character that makes the comic. If it's not for Carl, there is no great storyline to the comic. I mean, he's the guy who really makes it, or the kid, the character, because he does have that idea of, is he going to remain normal, or is he going to end up being psycho because of everything that happens to him?
Well, in the comic, I think that the latest pressing social issue is there is this sexual tension between Andrea and Rick.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that going on. Michonne has pretty much separated herself emotionally again from everybody since her latest boyfriend died again.
That's gotta suck. Well, and Rick also has that problem too, because all the chicks he ends up falling for end up getting killed off too.
Right.
So maybe Rick and Michonne.
So I think that's the. Together, but... that'd be weird.
But yeah. So anyway. I mean, overall, the series still hits the same major beats as the comic book. You know, you get Herschel's farm, you get the prison,
right?
You know, all that stuff. But the new stuff that it adds, like the kid who falls off the roof and impales himself on the fence and they have to bring him back and that whole storyline.
See, that was lame. Well, I could care less about that.
That had nothing to do with... you know, with the comic, that was completely for the TV show, but it further cemented Shane's...
insanity?
Yeah, his descent into going crazy. And so you knew, once that happened, you knew he was going to kill Rick.
Or going to try.
Well, but I mean, that's what he had his mindset for. If he can get away with that murder...
And didn't you think when Lori did her little speech to Shane... Weren't you just going, no, shut up, Lori. You are not helping.
You are just, I don't even know if this is your baby. Like, you're just like, oh, shut up.
You're just like fueling the fire, you know? No, she said, I don't know if it's Rick's baby.
Well,
which was like saying, oh, it could be yours.
Right.
You know? And you know what? Of all the characters to die on the TV show, because we know she's already dead in the comic.
Right.
I wouldn't mind if she died. I'm sick of her character. Like... Especially, like, the beginning credits, that smile, that picture of her smiling. It's like, I just don't care for her. And like, she goes, like, in the TV show, she goes back, like, there's, like, one part, and my wife pointed this out. There's a spot where, there's a segment where she's talking about, you know, we're the women, you know, we should just stick to our cleaning and doing our chores and you know... And then there's another part where she's, like, completely opposite.
Where Rick and Carl are out there and she's, like, steals her car and steals
her gun. Right, so it's like she's not consistent on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, obviously, yeah, she's emotional. She's pregnant. But...
Well, that just explains it right there. Yeah. I mean, chicks are crazy. And so that's why she does all her stuff.
I don't care for her character on the show.
No.
I didn't care for her character in the comic. You know, it's like she needs to die off. She needs to die off on the show, and I think it's going to happen.
Wow. They're harsh.
Well, you know, this is why we're critics.
All I know is that when Daryl Dixon dies in the show, if it's not in, like, a blaze of ultimate glory, like, it's got to be one of those things where...
He's, like, facing a
thousand... Well, there's, like, I was going to say, where it's, like, there's a gymnasium full of them, and they got to get through to the other side, and so he's just, like, clearing the path so they can get through, and then one of them grabs his foot, and they're like, we got to go back and get him. He's like, no, y'all get out of here. I'm going to take care of this. And then you just... And then the door's shut. You never know what happens to him. And then maybe, like, you know, in season 9...
He comes back.
Then suddenly it's like someone's parachuting out of the sky. It's like, who's got a parachute?
It's Daryl.
Daryl comes back. He's like, I found an airplane. I'm all right.
So are you saying he's like the Johnny Storm?
He's got to stick to it.
So he's going to be locked in the negative zone.
But he goes out in a blaze of glory. You know, as long as it's not a punk, if they punk his death, I will be so pissed off.
Right.
If it's just like everybody's asleep, zombie walks into the camp, and then suddenly he's dead.
That's one thing that you have to understand with Kirkman is never get too comfortable with the character, because anything could happen.
Right.
You know.
Well, and like with Rick, you knew Rick was safe, but Rick still got his hand cut off, and family's been messed up.
Yeah, Rick could die.
Well, now.
Yeah.
Now. He couldn't 50 issues ago.
No.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our discussion on The Walking Dead. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back in about 2 weeks. Talk about some other stuff.
Yeah, I think we'll do Invincible. Probably a couple volumes of Invincible, since we're all comiXology'd up right now on Invincible.
Talk about some Invincible. We'll talk about Akko from Archaea. Yeah. I think we'll put that one in there. And then I think we'll save Secret Warriors for later.
Right.
So,
or maybe put it on the back burner. And I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for today. Don't forget, if you want to send us some emails, you can do it to apocalypse@comiXology.com or dirt@comiXology.com. You can also come to popculturenetwork.com, join the forums, go to the comic book discussion, or if you want to go to, you know, like toy discussion, video game discussion, you can do all that stuff too if you want to. I guess. Also, if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do it by calling area code 217-953-4025. 24-hour voicemail line. If you want to leave like a short, 15-second voicemail, maybe we'll use it on the show. Maybe we'll play it and respond to it. As long as it's clean. And it will help if you're drunk too. Because really, that's the big
thing.
That's
the challenge.
Yeah, so.
Drunk and clean.
Those two never seem to go together with me. I don't know what it is.
We've had a few bleeps on this show.
But anyway. All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up. So, before we go, Mr. Apocalypse, you have any last words you'd like to share with all the great listeners out there?
Just keep watching Walking Dead. You know, if you're not reading the comics, pick it up. Start from one. The weeklies are out. Get caught up. I'm excited. Season 2 was great. And I'm ready for the next season. So...
But no words of wisdom, no sayings throw together.
No.
No great, like, nothing you learn from a mountain man that you need to pass along or anything.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I gave you the opportunity.
Yeah. No.
Give you the opportunity. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.